simple little message this morning, simple message. I call it changing of the gods. Changing of the gods. Anybody from Buckingham Palace, changing of the gods? Ceremony, changing of the gods. So I would build some kind of, I understand that kind of stuff. But I want to think, of a different kind of changing of God. So in early March, Philip Sale mentioned about the fact that Pastor Brian was leaving at the end of March. And she gave us a story, if you remember, about the man on the cliff. And the man on the cliff heard a voice that told him to let go. And he's looking up, and he's looking down, and he realized the jagged rocks below him. And the voice is telling him, let go, I have you. And she's telling us the story, and she says, he asked, is anyone else up there? Is anyone else up there? Because he didn't want to let go of the branch, because he had no faith. She continued to tell us, both from individuals on both the New and the Old Testament, about faith in action and having to let go of the branch. So we, MBC, Northern Baptist Church, we are in a kind of flux. We're changing the guard because we've just lost our pastor, and we're going through this process about what we're going to do next. So I want you to think about this scenario in the Old Testament between Moses and Joshua, that changing of the guard scenario. And I would like to reason for that reading. Bright and early, man. Bright and early. So Tony Walsh is getting it. It will be Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to
20.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not the I'm going for the right person. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you may have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us, so that we may obey it? None. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now, choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Jane, continue. You are 31, chapter 1.
Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Jerusalem. I am now 120 years old and am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy those nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross ahead of you, as the Lord said, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you and nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Assemble the people, men, women and children, and the aliens living in your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. The Lord said to Moses, now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting where I will commission him. So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of meeting.
Thank you very much. So there's a lot of stuff happening there, but one of the things that happened a lot is he mentioned, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. He would have just said, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, if it was not a possibility that there would be discouragement, that he would be fearful. So I want us to think of mercy. This is a comparison between the crossing over into this land that the Lord is giving them and us being given mercy for us to conquer in the same kind of way. Not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. So he's giving us mercy. We're not supposed to be afraid. It's not going to be easy. But this is our challenge. So this changing of the guard, so our pastor has gone. But what is it we're going to do? How are we going to conquer this land? So that's what I want you to think about. We have this land to conquer. We know how to think about that next step, that changing of the guard. So in this issue that there's going to be fear, there's going to be problems. So I wrote here, all leadership requires courage and the tenacity to endure the discouragement and sometimes the blame that is going to be placed on us. So I'm part of the leadership and so is Ruth and Tony. And we want your prayers, and we want your support and encouragement as to what to do, how we're going to get to that next stage. So I want you to think about it. Don't be a guest, be an active participant. Be willing to come and share your thoughts, any kind of insight. As to that's what Tony mentioned about this morning. Listen, and be willing to share your insight as to what you think the Lord is saying to you about this issue. So there are a number of things. So for example, we have this development group that is we want to form a formal development group to begin to discuss and to answer questions as to what's going to happen to this building, what are the next steps in terms of development, and that's it. So if you want to be a part of that, make yourself known. There are other things, there's stuff that you kids can do in terms of being involved with the IT, have a chat with Tony, there's stuff that you can do to become a part of this church. So we have prayer groups. Ruth mentioned about the prayer group. We have prayers every Thursday at 7:30 to be involved. We have our main service here at 11, so I'm preaching to the converted already. But maybe we could have a chat with some of our friends who used to come a lot and just seem to be blending off a little bit. Give them a call, send them a WhatsApp, encourage them to come back. We used to have a Bible quiz. That was quite something. We had a Bible quiz, and it was really exciting, you know, teasing out some of those Bible things and answering questions and finding out stuff that you didn't really know. That happened during the lockdown when we were using Zoom, and it was very convenient using Zoom. We're not using Zoom as often, but we must find a way to engage our Bible quiz and that kind of stuff again. We once had an active women's group, we once had an active men's group. We were doing different things, going out, having curry. You've got to revive stuff like that to begin to come together as a unity before we even consider going out into the wider community. So that's my point. Well, let me ask Paul to do a reading, Joshua 1.
After the death of the Lord's servant Moses, the Lord spoke to Moses' helper, Joshua, son of Nun. He said, "My servant Moses is dead. Get ready now, you and all the people of Israel, and cross over the Jordan, into the land that I have given them. As I told Moses, I have given you all my people, the entire land that you will be marching over. Your borders will reach from the desert in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the great river Euphrates in the east, through the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Joshua, no one will be able to defeat you as long as you live. I will be with you as long as you, as I was with Moses. I will always be with you. I will never abandon you. Be determined and confident, for you will be the leader of these people as they occupy this land which I promised their ancestors. Just be determined, be confident, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not neglect any part of it, and you will be, and you will succeed wherever you go. Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship study in day and night, and make sure that you obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." Then Joshua ordered the leaders to go through the camp and say to the people, "Get some food ready, because in 3 days you are going to cross the River Jordan to occupy the land the Lord your God has given you."
Thank you. That same point again, getting the new leader, the old leader is getting the new leader ready. So as I said, our pastor, you know, we will have to replace our pastor. We don't know how long that process is going to take, what is going to be that process, what is going to happen. But even before that, we need to get ourselves, we need to go through the camp, get our camp ready. We need to get new leaders. We need a deacon to replace our brother Phil, who passed a year ago today. We need to ask the Lord, how are we going to do it? We need to follow behind him. So if he has laid on your heart anything in terms of how to support Rose Come Back to this church, whether big or small, we look forward to inviting you to really make our church something special. Make yourself known, get involved. So I want you to read Deuteronomy, everybody, so turn to put it up, Deuteronomy 31, 23, very short, Deuteronomy 31, 23, and then I'll read.
20.
Deuteronomy 31:23. Yes, you got it?
Yep.
Okay, that way.
Commands Joshua, the son of Nun.
Yes.
For you will make me
his for short, that was easy. You just need to remember that. He's given us the land. He must be strong and courageous. He must be ready to go to take it.
Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also, my sister's very ill in hospital, you know. And yesterday morning she rang me up and I was like, oh, what was that? She started singing, "The sun has got his hat on." And I'm thinking she's high or something, isn't she? So we had a lovely time yesterday morning and they're gradually getting the fluid out of her body, so she's getting better. Anyway, as you all know, I came from King's Cross, and the first church I ever went to was in 1949, which is a long time ago, isn't it? And this is it, it's Merston Baptist Church, Vernon Baptist Church, and it's quite a well-known church in London, and it's quite a big church. I remember, you know, going in there, you know, I'm a little girl. My sister got baptised there, but then in those days it was just a random real thing, everyone got baptised. My two brothers were put on the cradle roll, but no one had any knowledge of me. I wasn't on any rolls or any lists or anything, so forgotten again. But never mind, that was then. Went to the girls' brigade like every young person. And then after that, it all sort of fell apart. And then in my early 20s, I went to a church in the Elephant and Castle where I lived. But everything drifts apart, you know, wrong marriage and everything else. And you forget, don't you? But there's always been something there. There's always been a little something. And then when I had my boys, I joined the church in Whitecross Street in London with the lovely vicar, Michael Anderson, and we started a mother and toddler group. So this photo, I don't know if you can see it, that's me that was taken in 1978, and that was my first mother and toddler group, and I'm quite heavily pregnant with Claire at the time. I just had the two boys. We raised a lot of money, and I took them all out for the day to Walton on the Naze near Clacton. We had a lovely time. But that was the first time I ever sort of really joined a church. And then Michael Anthony christened all my children in the church's town, you know, St Giles in Cripple Bay, which is in the city of London. Yes, I've got something in common there, haven't I?
Yeah.
And then when we moved to Merston, and I came here, and sort of straight away I felt like, oh yeah, this is where I'm meant to be. And this was in the early 80s. So I've gone back quite a way now, but still, never mind. And, I've got so many friends here, it's wonderful. But all this time, I've never been able to say, I can pray. I've never been one for praying. I don't know how to pray. Don't know when to pray. You know, who do I pray for? What, you know. And it's always been my bugbear. Because I didn't think I was gifted enough or spiritual enough in me to pray. And when I looked around and I used to see like people like Mary, Teresa, Bassima, Ruth, and I think, oh, they've got an aura about them. They've got this spiritually, you know, I can see it in them. But I've got nothing. I don't know what I'm doing. And I know that might seem strange, but it's in this last couple of years, since I've been told how long I've got and everything else, it's made me think that it doesn't matter doesn't matter how you pray, where you pray, or anything like that. I mean, you know, sit on the loo or make a cup of tea, or as long as I'm praying, then there's always something to pray for. Like when you get up first thing in the morning, you think, oh, let me know, I'm here. Another day, I've got another day. And I just say, oh, thank you, you know, just so grateful for that time. And it's, you know, someone once said to me, do you pray for yourself? And I said, well, no, never. And they said, well, you should. You're praying for everybody else in your own little way. You should pray for yourself as well. And obviously I've started to do that now because, you know, of what is happening to me. And I don't know, it's just something that this last episode in the hospital has made me really think, you know, I've come to terms with everything now. And I know what's happening. And I'm just so grateful that I am now praying all the time in my own way, when, as I want to, whether I'm with people, whether I'm not, because as you know, I'm not good at speaking out, and I've never been able to pray out loud in groups. And Teresa will tell you, I've never been like that. I'll just sit there and let everybody else pray. And I am convinced in this last 3 months, or this last year actually, since it's, that he wants me to go further. He doesn't, this is not my year yet. Although they said it is, it's not my year. I'm going to have another couple of years. Yeah, with you lot. Sorry. That's what it is.
Change the clock.
Yeah, change, yeah. Changing of the clock, yeah. So, all I wanted to say really is that I hope you help me through this and help me to come to terms with how I do it. I used to write it all down, now I don't. And I'll be in the middle of a prayer all of a sudden I'll do something else, you know, and that's how I am, unfortunately. I'm like this, you know. And as I was writing all this down and all these thoughts were coming to me from him, because I've never been one for dreams and things like that. Nothing's ever, if I've had a dream, what does that mean? Or if I've had something, well, what does that mean? But this came to me when I was sitting there yesterday afternoon. And it's Romans 8. Sorry, Jeremy, I should have told you.
It's all good.
That's quite a nice photo, really.
Looks like Claire.
And it's such a long time ago. It's Romans 8, and it says, and it's a bit like what we've all been talking about this morning, spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. But what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. I don't know what that means. I've kept looking at it and I'm still puzzled. But that just came to me yesterday afternoon. And I just think, oh, that's what we've been talking about this morning. It's part of that, you know, being in the Spirit and being with one another. Thank you.
Brilliant. And to end, let's do words of the grace to each other, and then we'll have some cakes, etc. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. 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 And if I can get...